The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's another Wednesday, which means it's another Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on Podzilla 1985, and I am the host again this week. I am, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray. Joining me this week is, of course, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
ProWrestlingTees.com/Dalton Anthony, that is. And yeah. Not a huge news week overall. I say that as I immediately have closed out my notes. There we go. Because, again, true professional.
It happens.
So,
the second that I copied and pasted it into the Discord, we got hit with a
who's the baby?
right away.
Who's the baby?
Which baby's down here in the basement with me. I'm sure she'll come make a purring run in at some point on the show.
I'm sure someone will start knocking on the door and meowing to be let in, but they are forbidden from this room. There's too many nice things in here to ruin.
I hated cats like my entire life.
Allergic to cats.
Yeah, my mom was allergic to cats. So I didn't know I was allergic to cats until like college. Like for real. I did not know I was allergic to cats until like college because I was never around it because my mom was allergic. And I was like, oh, that sucks because like cats would be cool, but I had no reason to like cats because I never was around them. And then whenever I was in college, the person I was with had like roommates that had cats and I could not be around them. And if you want an update, I have two cats now. I feel like Kazoo and Maisie will make an appearance on Pro Wrestling Tees at some point.
I mean, yeah, it's just at this point, it's just good business to include your pets on your merch.
Yeah.
At some point.
Because, like, they're better than me. Like, Kazoo, Maisie, and Sadie are my better three-fourths.
We know. We're talking about all the hottest news of the week. That ain't hot news. That's old news.
No, that's old news, and we all know it. What's that first piece of hot news, Aita?
Well, it's a bummer. This past weekend was the collective series of shows all getting together and running a show, it was like, 12 shows over 3 days?
Yeah.
And including some like really important shows, I think, For the Culture ran, which is AJ Gray and JR Rose's show that they put together to spotlight black wrestlers, black talent within the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
Effie's Big Gay Brunch was a part of it as well. So like it was a huge thing, and unfortunately it is coming out that there are now a couple. I don't think we have a hard number, but there are a handful of positive COVID cases that people that were there have now tested positive. I want to make it 100% clear. I didn't include this in the news to like dunk on anyone. I am not trying to talk shit on anyone who attended these shows, participated in these shows, or promoted these shows, anything like that. This is just strictly for if we have listeners, because we have listeners all over, even though you won't identify yourselves, I want to know, let me love you.
Yeah, word.
Let me appreciate you. But if you were at the collective this coming weekend, especially wrestlers, then please get a test. Try to isolate until you get a confirmed negative test. You could be asymptomatic. We've already had one promotion, St. Louis Anarchy, who runs just, 2 hours north of us. That's where I went to do the Bryce Remsburg seminar. And we have friends that go, shout out to the Mike. Smiths.
Oh.
Because they go up there I ended up sitting with them for the show. But like we have friends up there who go, but they had a show this week that has been postponed, which, Matt Jackson, Pierre Abernathy on Twitter, the owner promoter, he tweeted out that as an abundance of caution they were postponing the show, and I know that is an incredibly difficult decision to come to, but it's so much better to, I think this is the right call because of a large number of people on the roster were around someone who tested positive. So it's, if you were at the collective or, you know, even if you were, if you know, if you're close to someone who is there, you know, get a test. There are some Walgreens you can go to that actually have rapid testing. So you can find out in like 3 hours. So, but just, you know, just reminder that, you know, this isn't the show where we typically get super political, but the pandemic is real and it's not over. I understand we're bored. I understand we're sick of it and we don't want to have to keep doing all of this annoying stuff that we have to do. But if we don't continue to be as safe as possible, then we're never going to stop. Like, we'll never get to stop.
Yeah.
Because it's not just going to go away on its own.
Again, I'm very happy that you're the one saying it because I'm still actively working shows, but I'm also trying to be as openly, I'm trying to be as cautious as possible about it. And from one of my friends was there and he said there wasn't a lot of dickheadedness about being safe. Like, it was pretty unanimous across the board. Like, this is what we are going to do. You are going to do this. But at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do before it was going to happen.
Because again, because it's a pandemic, it's an airborne disease that, you know, there's only you can take steps to limit exposure and transmission, but there's really no way to 100% prevent it. And like I said, like, I'm not trying to talk shit. It's, when I did that, stupid, terrible, awful Resident Evil stream, John from CCW, one of the fans stopped, he came by the chat and he asked me, he's like, hey, how come you haven't been at CCW? And I told him, I'm not super comfortable going out in crowds that big, with groups of people that big, just because I work with the public, which includes older people. So I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, I don't want to be the reason that even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, if I get it and I'm asymptomatic, or even if I get it and I have symptoms, like, one, I don't want that, but two, I also don't want to spread it on. So I'm choosing for me. Like, it breaks my heart to not see everybody. Like, I miss everybody, but just for me, that's what I would rather do. So again, like, I'm not casting shade on anybody. I'm not talking shit on anybody, but, yeah. So just be aware. This is, we now have, I know of at least 3 people who have tweeted out that they've tested positive. So just, you know, please, please, please take care of yourselves and take care of each other.
Please. That's
from one bummer story to another bummer story. So last week on NXT, probably right around the time I was recording the PW last week, Ridge Holland suffered just a nightmare of a freak accident injury.
Yeah.
So I was at work Wednesday or Thursday morning, and I was scrolling through Twitter. We had some downtime, and I saw a GIF of it was a Twitter or Reddit. I don't really remember, but it was like a GIF of the spot that where it happened, and it was just like, you know, superstar suffers injury at NXT. And I was watching it, and it is Ridge Holland is on the outside, and Oney Lorcan hits him with a dive from the ring to the outside, which, as this is weird to me, like, because I was thinking about it, like, of how commonplace that sounds. Like, it seems like it's such a nothing spot for something to have gone so terribly wrong. But when you think about it, no, this is a grown man hurling himself, you know, while running and being caught by another person. Like, it's... Wrestling is stupid, y'all.
Oh, yeah, no, like, you, we talked about this during the Ivar thing.
Yeah.
About, like, I do that exact spot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done it, honestly, since the whole lip separation incident. Like, I've stopped doing it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you live and you learn. But, like, yeah, no, I dive on people all the time. It's very common for me. And I have been very fortunate, knock on wood, that I've only had, like, minor injuries that were just major nuisances to my personal life. But, like, yeah, no, stuff like that, it's there's so many things that could go wrong when you really break it down.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's a grown man, and the person that's getting the person. So, like, the person that's jumping, like, yeah, they have to make sure they put their, like, hands and head in the right spot. And, right. like, their body clears the ring, which is difficult. Like, I do it. It's not easy. Like, I've clipped my feet a bunch. But, like, I've only caught a handful of people. Catching it, like, catching somebody off a dive is so much scarier.
Because oh, yeah.
You got to make sure, like, when you're catching, the science of it is you are there to lessen the impact of, you're there to stop the guy from eating shit. And you're also trying to make it look like he fucked your shit up. And you have to do both of them at the same time.
I need to read you the, I don't know if this is like him throwing shade at somebody or what the context is, but it's a fantastic line. It's Timmy Lou Retton from the Gymnasty Boys. "I'm not booked, so I shouldn't be the one doing some of y'all's job. The floor." The floor.
I saw that and I was like, ooh.
That's so good. That's so good. But anyway, so it's a running dive. Ridge Holland catches him and then he goes down. And, like, so watching it without sound, I was trying to, like, I couldn't really see what happened. It looked like he went down, and I thought maybe he cracked the back of his head, because it looked like his head kind of bounced a little. And I was like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't have, like, a concussion or something. And then I read the comments, so it was Reddit. I read the comments, and someone's like, oh, yeah, you can see where his leg goes at the wrong angle. He essentially blew out both legs on this. I actually meant to look up if there was a actual diagnosis, because I don't think we have an I don't think there's a time for him to be returning. All in all, he suffered a dislocated and broken left ankle, ruptured his patellar tendon along with a patellar dislocation. So maybe that is on one leg. I thought I'd read that it was two, but I could be wrong. But yeah, if you just look up the injury, which I don't really recommend you do because it's gross, but like, yeah, his leg is just super jacked. And it happens as he catches Oni, and just holy cow. And the way, like, you can hear him scream, because I eventually, like, watched it later in the day with sound when I could. And it's just like, man, it is so easy to forget how, like, not necessarily for, like, wrestlers. So, like, you're, like, for you, I can feel like I can feel the dude you're preaching to the choir.
But, oh, like, no, I'm just, like, the only fortunate thing, and I hope you're not taking that from me at all, but, like, with me, it's just, like, yeah, no, I'm aware of it, but also, there's so many things that could go wrong, like, that this is legitimately a freak accident.
No, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. That's what is, because, like, yes, you and wrestlers in general are, you know, well aware of this. Jonathan posted today about his, where he broke his leg against Austin, because, like, we just did that anniversary, which I thought was weird, because, like, we just recently talked about that. But, so it's, like, wrestlers know how dangerous wrestling is. Wrestling fans should always keep in mind that there is nothing simple in wrestling. Like, literally everything is dangerous. Even the most basic of things you've done 100 times. Like, shit's intense. Shit is scary. And this is a perfect example of just, like, that's the only really way to describe it, is it's a freak accident. And it's a terrible thing. Like, his leg is just obliterated. So, our best to Ridge, as speedy as possible and as thorough as possible as a recovery, but just, holy crap. And, you know, we've talked about it before. There's never a good time to be injured, to get an injury, but this is such a terrible time for him, with him seemingly being starting to start a pretty high profile feud with Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing of, there's never a good time for an injury. But this is a really, really shit time for an injury.
Yeah, and, you know, it sucks. I need to look. There's one other thing, because talking about just surgeries, I believe Finn Balor, because he had his jaw broken, in two different places from his match at TakeOver 31.
Yeah, that, oh man, I know you talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that match is so good, yet so uncomfortable, because I caught it in the middle whenever I first watched it. I was like, oh man, that match is going on. I actually wanted to watch it. And then I watched it back at, like, so I saw the end of the match and I was like, Kyle O'Reilly's teeth have never looked like that.
Yeah, it's because he had some of them knocked out.
Yeah, and then I saw that. I was like, oh, he definitely got teeth knocked out. But yeah, no, that match was ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, that's a match you can only have a handful of times.
I mean, and I talked about it last week, and some of it was kind of recency bias. I stand by that it was a great match, but, like, seeing the aftermath of it kind of is, like, not souring it, but, like, it is kind of clouding my perception of, like, how much I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's that whole thing of, like, again, it was a great match, but it's what I said. You can only have so many of those.
Yeah.
Because, like, that will actively murder you.
So, yeah, so he did have his surgery apparently last Friday. He did an interview. This is from WrestlingInc.com. Last Friday, I underwent surgery for two fractures of my jaw, including one going into my tooth, Balor wrote. After the tooth was removed, I was wired shut to restore my bite and help align the fractures. Then three plates were screwed in to fixate the fractures for a quick recovery. Thankfully, no wires were needed after surgery. And then they go on to say, there's still no word yet on how Balor will be out of action, but the usual recovery time for a broken jaw is around 6 weeks. And then that quote of his came directly from his Instagram. So hopefully, again, a speedy and thorough recovery for Finn Balor. That NXT championship is looking just a smidge cursed right about now.
Yeah, we've got two in a row.
So, which doesn't look like, and again, NXT started about 25 minutes ago, so it's entirely possible that
there is a new champion and we are just talking.
Yeah, that I am living in the past now, because that's the new normal for PWU, is I give a prediction that is immediately outdated. Like, I need to just stop recording this while those are airing and read the results before I say anything. But hopefully he didn't have to relinquish his championship like Karrion Kross did, because his downtime will be significantly less. But let's see. It's less that it's sad news. It's sad for the victim, but it looks like justice hopefully will be done. Ex-WWE wrestler Alberto Del Rio indicted in kidnapping and assault case. This is from Sports Illustrated website. Former WWE wrestler Alberto Del Rio was formally indicted on charges of kidnapping and sexual assault on Friday, according to NBC4 San Antonio. Del Rio was arrested in May after a woman said he assaulted her on multiple occasions. The most recent incident came on May 3rd when Del Rio, whose real name is Jose A. Rodriguez Chucan, threatened to take the woman's son and drop him in the middle of the road somewhere, according to the arrest paperwork. We talked about that when it happened, what feels like a lifetime ago, but it was just in May. If convicted, he is facing up to 20 years in prison.
Fingers crossed.
And, yeah, no shit. What a piece of shit.
Like, it's gotten to the point now that Alberto Del Rio being shitty is almost the new show meme compared to TNA is going out of business soon. The only difference is
true, though.
Yeah, and the thing of it is this one's true and substantially more heinous, and I really fucking hope this one sticks, because yeah. I feel like this is something we've talked about for years of him being shitty on this show.
Yeah, between like and I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this, cuz I am not comparing what he did to this person and like skipping out and like no showing shows.
No. I want it to be known that there was like legitimate things against with him and Paige. And that's I am talking about. I'm not even talking about fucking no showing things.
Oh, no. I know. I was going to say, like, he's on a spectrum of shitty behavior from, being unprofessional and, no showing shows to what we know and what Paige has spoken on during their relationship, because we know there was some, there was just some shit that happened there.
Yeah.
Up to now with this incident back in May, just like what a colossal piece of garbage. And I, for one, am all for removing pieces of shit from well, society in general, but also wrestling. Like, you just, you cannot sit with us. I added this one, but it's a very much a I'll believe it when I see it. Eva Marie, potentially returning to WWE, she had made some kind of like offhand comments about, oh, I've got some unfinished business with WWE and, you know, never say never type statements about wrestling. And then Cultaholic, it was their exclusive story, said that she was returning to WWE, could have been as early as this past Monday on Raw as part of the draft, which, as we saw, didn't happen. Again, we're 30 minutes into NXT. It is entirely possible that she has shown up on NXT.
Yeah.
So, let me see. Oh, God, where did it go? I just lost it. Nope, there it is. If it was anyone else, like, if it was someone else, like, if this was a Ryback quote or, you know, anyone else who has left the company, it would very much be one of those, like, yes, I'm sure you have unfinished business in WWE. You did not want to be fired, but you were fired. So, like, I'm sure. But really, it's Cultaholic confirming, like, saying that they can confirm that she's returning. That's really kind of giving this any level of legitimacy. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I mean, I don't know. Is there really that much she has to offer? Because, I mean, I didn't want to be as down on her, like, in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It's just kind of, do we, like, the women's division is pretty stacked. Like, do we really need an Eva Marie right now?
Yeah, and it's really hard to think that she has been, like, training. And that's, like, training and wrestling, like, she is a, like, fitness model. And so, obviously, she's in tremendous shape. Way better shape than I'll ever be.
Oh, but, yeah, no.
Like, in-ring shape is a different kind of beast. And not saying that she was ever, like, blown up in the ring.
Well, no, it wasn't her. It wasn't her conditioning or anything.
But it was her ability in the ring to, like, I don't think she's taken actual wrestling training. Because even, like, whenever she trained with Brian Kendrick, which, if you're going to ask me, I still think was a total ploy on Total Divas to, like, say that she's training.
Mm-hmm.
She was still, like, barely passable at that. Especially, like, whenever you look in, like, the independents, like you were saying, like, there's so many talented females out there that I feel like deserve the spot more, that could do more with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't. It's a really weird signing in general.
Yeah, because like I said, like, it was never that she wasn't in shape. It was just that she was not performing at a level that you would need someone to, like, someone that would be on WWE Raw or SmackDown or NXT even, which I know is the kind of training show or is the developmental show.
Yeah.
Especially when the time period that she was on NXT. So it was just kind of, and I think that they did her no, like, her character work was great.
Yeah, man, whenever
so,
she
So, and,
came,
like, the whole, like, oh, the gorgeous, ravishing, like, it was, like, 30 seconds of adjectives describing how amazing she is, followed by, will not be competing tonight due to, she's stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Like, that was great, and that really kind of fit her, but at a certain point, that character has to get in the ring. And if you can't hold your own there, then, you know, all the character work in the world, that level of character work she was doing wasn't going to save her. Because you can point back in history, like, the list of wrestlers who weren't great in the ring, but their character work was so good that it didn't matter. You know, you look at, like, Ultimate Warrior, you look at, you know, this, according to Twitter, and I'm not saying that I personally believe this, so hold your angry tweets at me. Sting, Lex Luger, like, there was an aura about them, whether it was a look or it was an attitude or cocaine-fueled energy, that, no, it doesn't matter that they can't wrestle because they're still just there. Like, that is all we need, is just this. And I think at a level, like, all of those people still could have wrestled circles around Eva Marie.
Yeah. Like, in all day. Like, it's not even close. Like, and I'm not trying to actively shit on her, but it's just one of those, she came in at the worst time.
Yeah, because it really was, like, that's when we were really on the cusp of, like, the women's revolution was going on, and women were being taken more seriously as actual wrestlers. Like, you put her in the Attitude Era, perfect. and she would have been the biggest diva of all time. Like, yeah. No question.
And, like, I've talked about this on the show years ago. Like, that era has happened, and it was not great for women's wrestling. And I think Shannon summed it up best as, it doesn't matter how much you want to do something. If you can't do it, you shouldn't be encouraged. Like, that's the whole thing with Eva Marie, is just like, yes, you may want to be a wrestler, but you couldn't at the time, so you shouldn't have.
Right. Like, it's not that you shouldn't be encouraged, because, like, yeah, you know,
he never said that. That was just me trying to understand how he was saying it. But, like, there's no reason she should have been on TV as soon as she was.
Right. Like, you can sit on that gimmick, you can sit on that story for a few months while she gets some, you know, training in, and then, okay, if it doesn't click, because sometimes sometimes it doesn't, you know, just because you're working hard, and that's what's bullshit about humanity, is just because you're putting time and energy and effort into something doesn't necessarily mean it's going to pay off, and that sucks, but that's just kind of the way that it is. That's why I think and that's why I'm trying not to be, like, super negative about her, even though I feel like I've been nothing but negative so far, but, like, I'm not going to insult her. Like, I won't be insulting towards her, because she's a better wrestler than I am. I guarantee you, if you give me 6 months of training, she's still a better wrestler than I would be.
Yeah. In total fairness, she's probably a better wrestler than I am.
So it's very much a, but at the same time, like, when you are WWE, you're really supposed to be the absolute best of the best. And if you're not there, then, you know, it's, no one should mock her for trying, especially if she is giving, like, an honest 110% effort. Like, then, you know, don't ridicule her for giving it a shot. But WWE does need to take a little bit of the blame for putting someone who isn't prepared in that position.
Yeah, and by a little bit of the blame, you mean all the blame, because if you put me in that position, like, if WWE called me right now and they were just like, hey, you want a 12-week TV storyline? knowing damn good and well I'm not ready to be in WWE, nor will I ever be. But, like, yeah, I'm taking it every day. I'd be like, hey, Ace, I'm going to go to Florida for a couple, like, months.
Yeah, I'm deleting all of my social media, though, but yeah, I'll see
you. Like, we're going to need Shannon to delete some Facebook or some podcast, and by that I mean the last 5 years. And we're gonna give this wrestling thing a shot for realsies this time. And, like, I would have the shittiest matches.
Do you remember Brett? They're gonna bring you in, and you're gonna be the new Brad Maddox.
Dude, fine.
Just perfectly, like, just cool, like, with that. Where did you come from? Why are you here all of a sudden?
No, perfect. I would kill for his career. like, until he got fired for saying something stupid at a house show. Like, perfectly.
Is that cool. What happened?
It happened around the same time.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact, like,
the only thing I remember about him is that he showed up, he was a referee for, like, a couple weeks, and then he ended up being, like, Vicky Guerrero's assistant GM, and then he, like, just as quickly as he appeared, he vanished again. He
disappeared.
and then Reddit always called him Brad Maddox, Maddox, or Brad the Mad Ox Maddox. Like, yeah.
Then after WWE, it was Mad Braddox, because he was definitely going to the Impact Zone.
Oh God, I refuse to look up if that's real or not, and I don't want you to tell me. I don't want you to confirm. I'm talking over you because I don't want you to confirm or deny it. I don't want to know.
It in the chat. Give me a second.
Why? I am asking you to not. Anyway, moving on from Eva Marie, we will see. Was she on NXT tonight? I won't know for another like 30 minutes, but we'll see. Maybe she'll show up on SmackDown. In what is very much a unofficial, more of a, hey, by the way, I can keep going if needed. Wade Barrett has said, I never retired from the ring. Let's see, where is, this comes off of, wrestlingnews.com, but Wade Barrett gave an interview, was asked if he would return to the ring, and he says, I never retired from the ring. My focus at the moment is 100% purely in broadcasting and working in the NXT and telling stories verbally. I will tell you, there is some gas left in the tank. That's not to say 100% I will be back in the ring. Maybe I never will, but if the right opportunity presents itself at the right time, then I could see something happening. Which, to me, is wrestler speak for I will have an NXT match.
Yeah.
At some point. I could see him challenging Balor for an NXT title match and having that be like his send-off. So, cool.
Oh, I posted a tweet in the Discord.
I'm not looking.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's a thing that I specifically asked you to not tell me about, so I'm not going to. Instead, okay. I'm going to, in the middle of recording, rewatch Alex Trebek saying, who's the baby?
I wish I knew how to get my sound to work while recording, because it would be all over for this hoe if that happened.
Maybe if I can figure out how to download that audio, I might just put it as the intro to the show.
Who's the baby?
Or the outro. Give people a reason to listen all the way through. So you are NXT general manager William Regal. You see that Wade Barrett believes he has at least one more match left in him. There's another NXT. Oh, this is something that I forgot to mention when I talked about TakeOver 31. They announced that in October, we are getting TakeOver Halloween Havoc this year, hosted by Shotzi Blackheart.
Shayna's not here, but Asa hit that crush button.
So let's say it won't be that one because we'd only have a couple weeks. But like, let's say it's going to be that the TakeOver. What's coming up? The TakeOver before Survivor Series.
Yeah.
We want Wade Barrett on the card. Who do you put him up against on NXT right now?
You bring in somebody to face him. I feel like he's a good, like, he's a good throwback to British wrestling in general. I feel like he's the perfect person to go against UK champion Walter.
Oh, you're only saying that because of the discussion we had in the group chat, aren't you?
No, I'm saying it because I knew you were going to ask me, and I was like, I mean, Adam Cole would be good. Like, I was thinking of all these good matches, and I'm like, which one would make sense, though? Well, he wants that UK championship, because that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how good Wade Barrett is as a wrestler. He is perfect to face Walter. Like, he's a big, bruising British guy. That's who needs to face Walter.
It's not that I disagree. It's just, the group chat comparison was Hunter Hendricks is to Drew McIntyre as Asa Gray is to Walter.
Walter, you understand the talent.
I understand there's talent there. I understand that he's a big deal and that there's an appeal to him. It's just like everything about him just misses the mark for me personally. I agree that that would actually be a phenomenal match, but I also think that that would be such a one-sided feud of Wade Barrett having to constantly just like carry that on his own that I just don't.
Yeah. So
I don't want that.
I'm but also I, like, thinking about like, that would be a really good way to re-spotlight that UK championship. Because it's like, oh, Wade Barrett's back. Oh, he's going for the UK title. I kind of forgot that was a thing, even though they're doing like the UK invitational thing going on right now.
I mean, and they're back to doing like NXT UK because they had to take so much time off because it turns out like a bunch of their wrestlers were shitty humans. So
yeah,
it was. It's just kind of like I don't know. Where is it? There we go. I don't like. I genuinely don't know who I would put him up against, because there's too many names that immediately like I would want to see. Like, I don't know if I would want him back for just one match, because like Finn Balor's one, you know, for the NXT Championship. Honestly, like him versus Damian Priest would be great. Him versus Johnny Gargano, the soul of NXT versus the voice of NXT. Like, that writes itself. Assuming he's no longer Cruiserweight champion, Santos Escobar. But also, I kind of want to see Santos Escobar wrestle literally everyone. You know, Tommaso Ciampa. Like, holy crap.
Yeah. But I mean, if there's not if we're a wrong answer, honestly. If,
yeah, I mean, yeah, there's not. Like, I mean, well, maybe. Well, I almost said Drake Maverick, but even then I'd be like, no, fuck it. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Killian Dane would be great. To keep him on, and this is going to surprise you because I'm also not like a colossal fan of this guy, but Wade Barrett versus Pete Dunne.
Oh,
that'd be real good.
Oh God.
That'd be real good.
I could watch Pete Dunne wrestle a broom and be like, this was worth $9.99.
So, that's one. But again, that the way he phrased it in that interview very much is like, it's kind of, remember when Kurt Angle was like, no, yeah, I could still totally wrestle. I mean, yeah, they're bringing me on as a general manager, but just like, hey, I could totally wrestle again. I'd love to have one more match, because they didn't really intend on giving him a match, but he was just vocal enough about it that they let him have one. That this, I'm getting similar vibes. Granted, Wade Barrett's not nearly in the condition that Kurt Angle was, because as much as, like, if I could give my life force to Kurt Angle to give him another, like, 10 years of wrestling, I absolutely would at this point.
That's
like,
fair.
A healthy, sober Kurt Angle, like, giving Goku my energy for the spirit bomb. Just, like, send it to him.
Yeah, just take, please.
Give him my I will give him my neck mobility.
Because, like, Barrett also didn't, from what I remember, didn't have a lot of, like, yeah, I mean, he had major injuries, like, he had the torn shoulder and shit.
Oh, yeah, he was injured. He, like, well, I take it back.
Like,
he was given that injury-prone label, because he did have several injuries, and they were always, like, right on the cusp of him about to get, like, a major push.
But, like, and I'm gonna say this and, like, understand, like, I mean, like, neck injuries. I don't think he's had a history of major injuries. Like the ones that's just like, you better stop or else your quality of life is going to go down.
Well, and he had, I mean, maybe not any of those, but he's had, like, multiple surgeries, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, especially, like, shoulder stuff, but.
Because, like, he got released and then didn't wrestle again, to my knowledge. Like, he never, I think he only did commentary for WCPW, which turned into Defiant. Yeah. Like, I don't think he ever wrestled for him. So, like, this is going to be, like, the Edge thing where it's like, oh, man, you take 10 years off of killing your body. Like, it's mm-hmm. amazing what can repair. Like, I don't think he had as much to repair, and he's been off for 4 years? I think 4 years.
He was fired in 2017.
Like, okay, so almost 4 years.
So, yeah. And then he didn't... Well, no, he was fired in... No, he was fired in 16.
I knew it!
Because
it was around the time that they were doing the whole Stephen Amell thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that now.
So, yeah, so he was released in 2016, and then I thought he had matches. But I guess no, I guess you're right. He really only did commentary, and, like, he was the on... I'm trying to think of what I know, because I'm reading on Wikipedia, like, what he did. So he did commentary. He did on-screen general manager for Defiant. He did... he was an executive for World of Sport Wrestling when that came back. He was in Lucha... I forgot he was in the season finale of Lucha Underground, which I guess is the series finale.
Yeah. I think
and then
so.
He did, and then he was on commentary for NWA. So yeah, he it doesn't I mean, if he's had matches, they're just not listed on here. I'd have to check like cage match or something. But yeah, it looks like he stuck just to commentary. So, I mean, it would be cool. And if it's something he wants to do, I'm for it. Cause I was always a huge fan of Wade Barrett. And I still like, I will die angry about what happened to the Nexus. Like, that's just going to be a thing that's going to be a hatred that sticks with me. Let's see, jumping around. Let's see. This just broke earlier today, but apparently John Cena has gotten married.
Yeah, I saw that. Good for him.
And
big BTS fan John Cena. That's how I acknowledge him for the rest of my life.
Epic Instagram shit poster John Cena.
He really is the best of them. Us, like, he is just the internet community, just but the only good parts.
He and his longtime girlfriend Shay Sharitzada. I'm butchering that, and I apologize but I don't know the correct pronunciation of that. Apparently, they have been dating since early last year, and there were rumors that they had become engaged. So. This is also how I find out from Reddit that there is a bot, because this is from Wrestling Insider, or PW Insider, and there is a bot called PW Outsider that just copy and pastes the article into the comments, because PW Insider, I suggest having an ad block on when you open that webpage, is all I'll say.
Fair enough.
So, but congratulations to them. That's cool. Where else? Okay, so we've gotten, and I know you know more about this than I do, the karate guy, Ethan Page.
The karate man.
Oh, sorry, the karate man.
He is a man, Asa, and he does karate.
The karate man, which is Ethan Page's alter ego, this was a couple weeks ago, but he was confirmed for Talkin' Shop Mania 2. But this week, we have another confirmation that I think is just as exciting. And it's in the very same vein of the kind of body guy that the karate man envisions. Scott Steiner will be at Talkin' Shop Mania. And it wasn't until this very moment that I realized that Sex Ferguson and Scott Steiner will be on the same show. And if they do not interact with each other, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably complain mildly on this podcast.
Asa, you don't understand. You know for a fact Sex Ferguson was working towns with Steiner back in the 80s, brother.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hate this. No, you don't, dude. So have you watched Talking Shop of Mania 1?
No. It's very much I am happy that they did it. From what I have seen, it was a fun show. It was a good time had by all, but I don't think I could justify spending $40 on it.
It was only 12.
Was it really?
Oh yeah, no, it was dirt cheap. I worked a Stride show that night, and I told everybody, I was like, I gotta go now, because if I get a spoiler on the Boner Yard match, I'm gonna lose my shit. I sped home, because again, this is me. Sped home. Got to my house and just watched the entirety of Talking Shop of Mania with just the biggest shit-eating grin on my face. And I'm assuming that they're going to try to top each other, because they said this is going to be the perfect sequel to hashtag the worst pay-per-view ever.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, yeah, so Steiner's announced. We know that Virgil's in it. And then I think you're going to have your who's who of, if you watch either Ethan Page's vlog or the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, Brian Myers did a vlog. There's a lot of familiar faces that were in the first one that's going to be in the second one. Mm-hmm. Brian Myers is in it. Heath Miller's going to be in it. Swoggle's in it. Like we said, Karate Man's in it. Now, I'm going to give you a guess on what I think's going to happen in the ball for a ball match. God damn it, I love 2020 only in this instance. Because that was an actual sentence I had to say. The Karate Man, I feel like, is going to have a face-off with Chad Too Bad, who does karate shit. He loves fucking karate, Asa. This is all actual dialogue from the first Boner Yard match. And I feel like Sex Ferguson is going to have an issue with Steiner. Because they're both muscle guys.
One of the comments I saw in this announcement was he better be doing commentary, or he better be doing ring introductions.
Oh God, I also wouldn't hate that. Dave Penzer did it last time. He did pretty good. Pins, he was good. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is like, if you listen to all of the goofy podcasts that like deal with these people, like all of this stuff, they are so proud of this bullshit that they put out. And it's super fun. Like, it is everything that's wrong with wrestling, but in the best way.
Right. I still think, like, I was stunned at how much I enjoyed the Enzo promo.
I forgot what I was gonna fucking say.
I think I just blew did I blow the finish, and then just hearing Gallows dying in the background.
Because, like, yeah, if you watch the vlogs, you get to see, like, Anderson and Rocky Romero, because Rocky Romero is, like, the person that puts on a lot of it, too, because mm-hmm. they're all three best friends. But, like, you just see them being serious about this, and it's that whole thing of, wait, they're fucking being serious about this? Because it doesn't look like it. Like, they're actually producing this stuff to look that way. In the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, I think I'm just going to give you my Fight TV login so you can watch it. Like, the first one. But there is going to be a spoof of Raw Underground. We got to see a second of the set. It's as shitty as you think it would be. Because it's still at Gallows' house. I think they put the ring in his front yard instead of his backyard this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I am ignorant. November 13th on Fight TV. I'm sure it's only... I'll get a price for it, actually, right now. Along with me buying it this exact second.
You're going to buy the second one now?
Get it out of the way? Yeah. Well, the thing is, I loved the first one. Like, honestly, whenever we do our end-of-year picks... I'm probably going to tell you my favorite match of the year was the Boner Yard match. Because the thing of it is I was, if you were going to ask me what was the most entertaining thing I watched this year, it was that.
Like, so legit, a thought that I had, and I want to run this by you, and honestly for, because we are coming, like, it's hard to believe, but we are well into October, so the end of the year stuff is coming up, so if the PW fans have an opinion on this, let us know. But what are your thoughts on adding a new category and doing best cinematic match?
Oh yeah, do that so I can put the Boner Yard match. That way I won't piss you off whenever I say it's my match of the year. I'll just say it's my favorite cinematic match and then I'll be serious.
Okay. Remind me that we had this conversation.
Cool.
I'll add it to the Google Doc.
But it's $14.99. Which, again, like, it is ridiculous, and it's meant to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it, and I love all of the people they get hired, like, brought in. The guy that Zack Ryder tore his tights on WWE ECW and showed his ball bag to the world. He's booked on it because he's feuding with Cardona, but it's a one-sided feud right now because he's the only one feuding since he's on the indies. It's pretty fucking great. Swoggle was Mini Rider last time. It was bad. I showed JJ Walker it. Shout out to JJ. And he was just like, this is the exact thing that I know you would love. Like, he watched it with me. And he was like, this is adult. Like, they made this show for you. Because it's just bad indie wrestling. And that's my favorite. Like, that's become my most pure form of wrestling. Is shitty independent wrestling. With, like, Good Brothers, the Rock and Roll Express were there selling gimmick during the Boner Yard match. Literally with a gimmick table.
Wasn't Stang there?
Stang, I believe, was there, yes. And then they also had, like, a bunch of former WWE talent. So it was a shitty independent show in Georgia.
No, yeah, it's whenever we reviewed it, it is essentially what if Podzilla had any sort of budget, that's the show we would put
on. Yeah, it's the Pro Wrestling Unscripted Federation. Like, it's the PWUF.
Yeah, like I am completely blanking on literally every name that I think is hilarious.
Native American, this is why we need Cologne, I believe that was one.
What was the tag team?
The Flex Offenders. We also, for the show that didn't happen, we were able to book Justin the Juice Smart.
Which he was one of the tag teams. And he said he had to get paid twice. I'm not going to lie. Like,
oh, there I have, is a part of me. We could get that going. You know how many friends I have that if I was like, all right, so we're going to do this taped. I just need to get a ring.
You motherfucker. You motherfucker. You know like six people more than I do.
That's not entirely true.
They are our friends.
There's enough people that if I was like $20.
You're going to tell me right now that if I got on the, like, I could call Austin Lane live on this show and be like, hey, do you want to be in on the PWU version of Talkin' Shopamania? He wouldn't already, like, we would hear him slam his car door to get up here.
Oh, I know he would.
Because
he
one,
would
that's,
do free. This would that's how the amazing he is.
Yeah, because that's how amazing he is, one, and two, because of just how goofy this is. Like, I genuinely, now I do, like, there's just the little bit of thing in my head of just, like, I really do kind of wish we could do, like, a CCW-style, friggin', the WWE one.
Southpaw?
The underhook. Southpaw. Underhook. Yeah. Jesus. Like, a CCW-style of Southpaw regional wrestling. Like, bring in our friends from Stride, bring in, like,
oh my God,
other people. Like, I kind of want to, like, I wish I had money.
I think, like, I could get a ring. And I don't think it would be that expensive, Ace.
Because, like, no, that's what I mean. Like, okay, so everybody who's listening to this right now, again, we don't get super political, but I need you to write your congressman, your state senator, tweet at the president, tweet at Pence, tweet at everybody about getting a new round of stimulus checks in. Because
so
between,
we can use $200 of it, and that's including yes, the ring rental.
Yes, so we can put together a series of videos. No, but part of it too is going to have to be like paying me to go to like Full Sail's online program for video editing, or just to pay Mandy and Shannon to like tutor me into doing video editing so I don't have to bother either of them with it.
God, I think that would be the greatest thing ever. Mainly because this would be my one chance for me and Brandon Barbwire to work a match. And if it was on this kind of show, you can only imagine what that fucking shit show would look like.
Oh my God.
All right, well.
Now I'm a little mad that we're not doing it. Anyway, I want to keep the show at under an hour. So what was the story we were even talking about? Oh yeah, Scott Steiner and the Karate Guy confirmed for Talkin' Shop Mania 2. Karate Man, damn it. I typed it wrong and then it, damn it. Okay, Scott Steiner and the Karate Man confirmed for Talkin' Shop Mania 2, which I believe is Friday, November 13th.
Yeah.
So it's on a Friday the 13th.
It's the Rise of the Torturer, which, by the way, Asa, it's just Sex Ferguson in a Jason mask. Let me rephrase that. It's just Sex Ferguson in a shitty hockey goalie mask.
Okay, of course it is. And then the final story of the day, which is undoubtedly the best news of the week. Monty Brown has returned to professional wrestling.
Ish.
Dot, dot, dot. Kinda. If you go to Lance Archer's Twitter page, he has a video of, which it's just at Lance Hoyt, because he's still never changed it, which I understand, because if you change your at, you lose your verification mark.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
And it's kind of a hassle to get one of those, I hear. I wouldn't know. I'm not that famous. But he has a video up right now of Monty Brown cutting a promo on Jon Moxley on behalf of Lance Archer. And I just want to frame this for our listener base. For those of you who may not follow AEW, maybe you don't even know who Monty Brown is. Which, one, shame on you.
There is two, YouTube legitimate, for a reason.
Two, legitimate answer. He was briefly Marcus Corvan in the WWE version of ECW. But he stepped away from wrestling years ago, and really hasn't done anything related with it since, as far as I know. If I'm missing out on stuff, please, this isn't just a Asa likes to admit when he's wrong and wants to be proven wrong, if possible. This is a selfishly, I want to see everything he's done wrestling related since he stepped away. But Lance Archer's manager and mouthpiece on AEW is Jake the Snake Roberts, one of the greatest talkers of all time. Yeah. I'll say it.
Oh, no, you're not wrong.
Fight me, internet. And it is more hype that Monty Brown did a promo for him.
And a motherfucker of a promo.
And an amazing promo.
Yeah.
And it's just like, on the one hand, a little mad that he did it. Because I very much just want to, I just want him on my TV or on my computer screen literally every week. Yeah. So, go check that out. He's at Lance Hoyt on Twitter. The Murder Hawk Monster Lance Archer. You can search that as well. But yeah, Monty Brown. Hot damn. That's so cool. That's so cool. But that's going to do it. We are getting in and out in under an hour.
Oh, really?
And all
quick.
It took. Oh, you son of a bitch.
No, I want to make a quick plug.
Okay.
On Independent Wrestling TV tomorrow, Anna Fight Underground is going to be doing a show live. I don't know if it's going to cost anything, but if you're into deathmatch wrestling at all or that hardcore style, I feel like this is going to be a cool show for you. I have a lot of really good friends on this show, from Stride and CCW alike. And the, I honestly think this might be his first match back since the quarantine, Dark Side of the Ring star New Jack versus Madman Pondo is the main event. That's kind of insane. And just a lot of great talent is going to be on that show. So check that out on Independent Wrestling. TV.com, Anna Fight Underground.
There you go. The new show in town. Check that out. IWTV. Of course, Podzilla1985.com. Go check out any of the older episodes that we've done. Listen to me be super wrong a multitude of times. I want to go ahead and preemptively congratulate Eva Marie on her debut at NXT tonight. I don't know if that's happened or not. I'm just hedging my bets at this point because who knows? ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get your t-shirt. If you buy enough of those t-shirts, then he can get more designs, which means that we are that much closer to getting a
Kazoo and Maisie shirt.
A Kazoo and Maisie shirt, which is really what the ultimate, that's what the end game
so
is here.
So I have an idea. Here it is.
Also, if you buy enough shirts, you could single-handedly fund CCW Southpaw.
Yeah, so here's the idea. It's going to be a ring. And it's going to be like fathers, like daughters. And it's going to be Maisie and Kazoo jumping out of the ring in a suicide dive.
I hate you so much.
Is that not the greatest fucking thing ever?
Twitch.tv/the5starman. Give me a follow. I'm actually really close to 100 followers on Twitch, which is just an arbitrary number. But still, I like round numbers, even if you don't go and watch me. You can watch my VOD of the Resident Evil 7 stream. I did not have a good time at all.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was watching.
Yeah, that's what people keep. That's what people keep saying is they had a great time watching it, and I'm glad y'all did. You mother. Okay. Otherwise, of course, at Podzilla1985 on all of the socials. Maybe in the next like 3 or so weeks when I have more actual time. I want to try to get better about being on Twitter because I have that on my phone and everything for the podcast. But just right now, I don't have a ton of free time, and it's just like that's part of the reason it's such a light news week is there's probably more that happened. I just don't have as much free time to scroll and look at stuff. So we'll see. But give us a follow on there, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and then of course there is the Reddit.com/Podzilla1985. But ladies and gentlemen, that is it. Of course, Thursday, Thursday show will be tomorrow as we continue. And then I'm just calling it Horse Time. I know they haven't officially changed the name of the Friday show.
No, it's Horse Time.
The podcast for happiness, but it's Horse Time. It's Horse Time all the time, but especially on the Friday time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for everything. We will see you next time. Have a great week.